The initial flight of ECAC decision makers. I'm so proud and honored and excited to talk to Courtney Kessel. Courtney, the new head coach at Princeton. How does that sound?
Yeah, it's every day I wake up and I pinch myself a little bit. All these kids are smarter than I am, so I sometimes wonder if I'm in the right place.
Oh,
But I'm super excited.
Yeah, you're in the right place. Just so everybody at home knows, you were also an assistant there for a good length of time, almost a full recruiting cycle, 4 years. So you're very familiar with Hobey Baker Arena. You're familiar with Princeton, New Jersey, and you're familiar with the great tradition of Princeton women's hockey and men's hockey as well. What's it like to walk into Hobey Baker every day and know that that's your office?
Yeah, honestly, it's one of the oldest rinks in the NCAA. So it just holds so much tradition. And we got some fixtures up here in Baker this year. So we're excited. The boards, the glass, it's all fresh. It honestly just brightens the place up. And so I'm so excited to come in here every morning and to be a part of this program and this history. Like you mentioned, Kara Morey, obviously I was here with her for 4 years and created something special with her. You know, we won an ECAC championship together. And so I want to do that again. That's, why we're all here. We want to win, right? But I think more importantly, just coming back to these amazing women, and they're different and they're special. And so I'm excited to be back with them.
So what makes them different? What makes them special? Because I'm familiar with your program, but there might be people out there watching this, Courtney, right? And that's it. Why would they be different? Why would they be better?
Yeah, I just think, they're driven not only athletically, but academically as well. And obviously, Princeton being the number one school in the world, you're coming out with an unbelievable degree, but they show up and they work hard and they want to be Olympians and they want to play in the PWHL, but they're also engineers and going off to be doctors and doing these tremendous things. And I just like, I hats off to them, and that they show up and they work so hard every day on the ice, and then they're in classes and they're just enjoying every moment. But most importantly, when they show up, they're like, "Hey, Court, how was your day? Like, how are your kids?" And you can just hold conversations with them. And so I think that's really special.
We all have mentors and people that we really turn to. You know, I started with Steve Sterling at Babs, and then I went to Joe Marsh at St. Lawrence. And then I was with the late Badger Bob Johnson and Scotty Bowman in Pittsburgh, and then Brian Burke in Hartford. So I'm so blessed to have all these amazing mentors. Who's Courtney Kessel's mentor?
Yeah, I think, three come to mind. I would say Daryl Giancola was my coach growing up with the Toronto Arrows, Midget Junior, and he was actually the MC in my wedding, so obviously holds a special place in my heart. And so I reach out to him quite a bit, and a little bit of hockey talk, a little bit of family talk as well. Jim Nyhus is probably, one of my better friends. He's a little bit older than I am, but we coached in Oakville together. And I think he caught me, at a point in my career where I didn't know if I wanted to play anymore. I'd just been released from the Olympic team and I was an alternate, and he came into my life and just changed, my perspective on life a little bit. And so really reach out to him in all life aspects, but also in coaching, and talk to him the other day. He's going back to coach the Hornets, so I'm excited for him. And then Ken Dufton is another one that really comes to my mind. He also coached me in the Toronto Arrows. And then when I went on to coach the Toronto Furies, I think I was 27 years old, 28 years old, just had retired. And I would, sit down at Starbucks with him every single week, and we would kind of chat hockey and life a little bit. But some really good mentors in my life for sure.
They're important. I think they're really important. Scotty Bowman is still alive. He's 92 years of age, and I probably talk to him 3 to 5 days a week. And there's no stone left unturned. I learned so much from him. I was curious, because what's happening with the women's game, with the PWHL, with colleges, obviously you're new to the college scene, quote unquote, because you have spent time in professional hockey. How much does Kara Morey help you?
Yes. Yeah. I actually talked to Kara kind of, pre-getting this job. Obviously we had a conversation. She was looking to potentially move into the GM role out there in Vancouver. But I think my 4 years here kind of, really shaped who I am as a coach, and Coming in, I had just hung up my skates and was all about hockey and making the Olympics and that drive. And but I think being here at Princeton, taught me that there's so much more to life than just hockey. And that's why I think these women here are so different. And Kara being a big part of that and such a culture driver. So learning all that from her was great too.
One of the players that she had a chance to coach, and I know you did as well, is Sarah Filliere, who's now playing in the PWHL and obviously a special player at Princeton. What do you remember about her character-wise that made her such a good player?
Average hockey player. Actually, funny enough, I coached Sarah with the Oakville Hornets. She was in grade 10, I believe, when I got her and Kayla Fillier, her sister. So I've known Sarah for quite some time, but I think she's more of a quiet person. But when she's in her small groups, I think she's a pretty funny person to be around. Like her teammates seem to enjoy her, but just worked hard and, just had this Olympic dream. And for me, it was so exciting to be on the other side and be able to coach her and help her through. And, I remember she was centralized in Calgary and called me and, she was in tears like, "Cord, I'm, low in the lineup." And so it was just nice to be able to share my experiences as a player with her and be able to connect with her and, just to see what she's doing for this game is amazing, right? And she goes into the PWHL and, is a point leader for the league. Just it's incredible to see. And so I'm excited to continue to watch her develop and, hopefully we're going to see her at this Olympics coming up.
So you're a young player that grows up outside of Toronto. You go play in Durham, New Hampshire at UNH. You end up turning pro. Your Olympic goals don't happen. And now all of a sudden you're a young coach, you're a mom, you're a wife. How do you juggle it all?
Survival some days. I don't know. I think I surround myself with great people. And I think that's the most important part about being successful in life, in your career, academically, athletically, is surround yourself with people that are going to have your back and that are going to pick you up when you fall because you're going to fall. And it's okay to fall. It's all about learning, but just surround yourself with great people. And my husband's amazing. He stays at home with the kids. Chris is going to be almost 4, and Blake obviously played professionally for years, but he retired when COVID happened, and we had Chris not too long after. And so he's been at home taking care of the kids. And honestly, that's been, probably the biggest lifesaver is he kind of told me, "Hey, go chase your dreams and I'll raise the kids."
Well, that's interesting because you married into an amazing hockey family. Amanda Kessel obviously was a tremendous US Olympian and a great college player and professional. And your brother-in-law, Phil Kessel, Blake's brother, obviously is somebody that I know very well from international hockey in the NHL. What is it about your Thanksgiving dinners that must be very intriguing when you all sit down?
Lots of hockey, too much almost. I'm gonna be honest, I feel like we try and stay away from hockey because everyone has such strong opinions and thoughts and comments, and we just try and enjoy being around each other because it's very rare, with all of our schedules now that we're older and we have kids to that we do find ourselves together. And I think, when I think about Amanda, Phil, Blake, and myself getting together, it was COVID when that happened. We all kind of moved south to Florida and lived in Phil's house, and we were out on the boat together. And honestly, we didn't even talk hockey, but it was just so nice to just to be together because as you grow up, you're just busy, right? And you're pulled in all different directions. So we try and stay away from hockey.
I think that's smart. And I think it's great, though, that you can acknowledge that. But you also have somebody you can bend their ear if you need to, whether it's Amanda on the women's side or Blake, as you talked about, played at UNH where you went and obviously professionally. And Phil had an unbelievably distinguished career. Phil was a tremendous player. So I think that's an awesome resource. And I was just curious. I can tell you this, Phil was great on the power play. Phil wasn't a little bit good on the power play. Do you ever pick his brain for strategy?
You know what? I haven't, and it's funny. I should. But yeah, we just really don't talk hockey. But Blake, I pick his brain at home all the time, and I'm gonna say this out loud, and he's gonna hold it against me forever. But when I went I was a forward my whole career, and then my sophomore year I went back to D, and Blake was the best player on the men's team, and so that's kind of how we started connecting. I messaged him and I was like, hey, can you teach me how to play defense? And so he'll tell you that I was good because of him, of course. But yeah, that's kind of, how we started talking, and he taught me how to play defense. And so I pick his brain quite a bit. We talk about drills and PK, and he was a great power play player as well. So I do that a lot, and we call Amanda here and there. She's obviously with the Penguins now and doing a lot of scouting for their organization, and so I know she reaches out to Blake quite a bit. So from that aspect, yeah, it's been pretty cool for us to kind of grow up as hockey players, and now we're, a little bit older on the coaching side of things to see how our view of the game has changed.
Courtney, what makes a great Princeton women's hockey player when you're on the road recruiting? What are you looking for?
Yeah, I think it's your play away from the puck, right? Everyone can be a superstar and super skilled with the puck, and that's easy to evaluate, but I think your play away from the puck is really important. How you back check, where you back check to, do you have your head on a swivel? Those kind of details to the game are really huge for, your growth in this game is being a good player away from the puck is huge, and how you can support your teammate.
Is there one instance you can remember internationally when you were representing Canada? You say, you know what? I didn't know that was a big part of hockey, but now I do.
I think I didn't take the time to be where my feet are. And when I say that is, I was at these world championships or four nations, and you're always worried about what's next, the next tryout, the next cuts. And instead of being where my feet are, and I got to travel the world playing this game. And I think taking in those memories with your teammates or the countries that you're going to visit, like, it's a really big part of this game and your growth and your development. So I would say, like, be where your feet are.
That's a great answer. I totally agree. From having played and coached and done all that stuff, we're always looking too far down the road. We should just enjoy the moment. That's so well said. I agree with that. Ben Sire, speaking of that, Ben Sire comes down. He's in his second year as a head coach at Princeton. How much do the men and women's coaches talk at Princeton?
Yeah, we connect quite a bit, actually. Ben's been tremendous. He's got, two young daughters in the game, and so I think he knows how crazy this is, and obviously he's at the forefront of the men's side of how crazy it is there. But it's been really nice to connect with the men's staff, and we're doing a big kind of get together with our alum and how we can help both programs and with career paths and mentorships and all that. So it's been nice, nice to have a reset and have a fresh start here.
You talked about the new building, about the renovations at Hobey. Have they changed the small ice surface, or is it still real small?
No, it's regulation size.
Okay, I'll trust you on that, Courtney. That's good. I'll trust you on that. But what have they basically done with the rehab of Hobey?
It's been a lot of refrigeration. So, like, underneath the ice, just making sure that the ice quality is great. Boards, glass, new benches for us when you walk up the stairs into the rink. So just it looks fresh, like painted everything. So it looks nice and bright and ready to go.
It's an amazing thing. Just for those that have never been to Princeton, I'll describe it. If I'm wrong, Courtney, say, McGuire, you don't know what you're talking about. When you walk by Hobey Baker Arena, you think you're almost going into a church or a museum. It's really amazing. And then you walk in, you're like, this is a hockey rink. And the tradition, whether it's Hobey Baker, whether it's Patty Kazmaier, whether it's all the former Princeton Tigers that have played over the years, I find it one of the more memorable buildings to walk into in the entire country.
Yeah, I think it's really special. Our players love to play here. They love to be here. They spend a ton of time here, whether they're studying or working out or getting on the ice for skills. And it's a really special place.
Where do you spend most of your time recruiting now? Because I know you've been in the pro game for the last little while. So it changes from pro to college and college to pro. I know I've done the same stuff you've done. How do you change your recruiting approach now? Where do you go? Who are you looking at?
Yeah, I think, the Stoney Creek tournament, the Labor Day, we had the Pittsburgh tournament. We were up in Etobicoke. And in Boston. And I think that was our reset, our restart, really. I'm pretty sure we got to see almost everyone in North America within those 2 weekends, because the tournaments nowadays are just so huge. And so that's our start. And obviously Taylor Winskowski stayed on, and she was around the rinks, and Shelley Picard came from LIU. So you're really using their knowledge and leaning on them for a little bit here at the start, so I can get my feet under me again. It's crazy what happens. Like you have this, great knowledge of where everyone's at, and you leave for 2 years and you come back and it's like you don't know anyone on the ice. So it's been really nice to lean on them in these kind of areas, but I'm sure it'll come back to me real quick.
Courtney, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Shelley play at Harvard?
She did play at
No.
Harvard. Boo.
Yeah, that is. I remember her very well from the Olympic days. She was a tremendous player, really smart. So that was cool when you mentioned her name. One other thing about the recruiting. How soon do you start? Is it too old when they're, or too young when they're 14, 15? When are you starting to contact young ladies?
Yeah, we can't contact them until June 15th, going into their junior year.
Okay.
But we're out at the rinks, we're watching. There's tons of tournaments and camps throughout the summer. So the eye on the players starts really early, and it's nice to really get an eye on them when they are, 13, 14 years old, and just continue to watch them develop. And you talk about this play away from the game and what we're looking for in our style of game, and to be able to watch them develop, I think, is a really big part of the recruiting process.
Everybody in your league has a travel partner. Yours is Quinnipiac. Who's Princeton's biggest rival? Because usually it's your travel partner, but I don't think that's the case with Princeton.
Yeah, from the rumblings around here, I would say it's Cornell. So we're looking forward to those games. And actually, we got Sawyer Fleming on our team, who's going to play against her sister. So I know she's looking forward to that game for sure.
Yeah, no, it's tremendous because I do know it's the same on the men's side too. A lot of times it's a travel partner, but there are a couple where you're like, no, not really. It's somebody else. Like Harvard's really, they don't dislike on the men's side, they don't dislike Dartmouth. That's their travel partner, but I know they dislike Yale a lot. So, it's like it's one of those things. How much time will you as a head coach, and I think time management when you're a head coach matters a lot. How much time will you spend on the road recruiting, Courtney?
I think a lot of the recruiting for me is going to happen through the summer, like spring, summer, provincials, nationals, during the year. Like, I want to be present with these players. I think it's super important to know how much I value them, and how important it is for us to develop them here as well. That's a huge part of our program, is developing. And so I won't be away during the year.
Yeah, no, that matters a lot too. So you got to have a lot of faith in your assistant coaches to go out on the road and find track and then eventually close on the players. I agree with you. When the you're obviously started, practices have started. Anything surprise you?
It's not really, because I was here 2 years ago, right? But I think what's been really cool is that our seniors were first years when I was last year. And so to see them just develop, not only on the ice, but more importantly, as humans and as leaders for this team, has been really awesome to watch.
See, I love that answer too. Courtney Kessel, we cannot thank you enough for being on ECAC Decision Makers. Your first one of the year is you. The first one
Yeah.
is you. Thanks, Courtney. Take care. And
Thank you.
tell Phil I said hello, please.
All right, I will. Have a good day.
Thank you.